to Los Angeles, Monday, August 23rd, 1:04 p.m. The flight attendant poured Morton's vodka into a cut glass tumbler.
"No more ice, sweetie," Morton said, raising his hand.
They were flying west over Greenland, a vast expanse of ice and cloud in pale sun beneath them. Morton sat with Drake, who talked about how the Greenland ice cap was melting, and the rate at which the Arctic ice was melting, and the rate at which the Arctic ice was melting, and Canadian glaciers were receding. Morton sipped his vodka and nodded.
"So, Iceland is an anomaly?"
"Oh, yes," Drake said. "An anomaly. Everywhere else, glaciers are melting at an unprecedented rate."
"It's good we have you, Nick," Morton said, putting his hand on Drake's shoulder.
Drake smiled.
"And it's good we have you, George," he said. "We wouldn't be able to accomplish anything without your generous support. You've made the Vanuatu lawsuit possible, and that's extremely important for all the publicity it will generate. And as for your other grants, well, words fail me."
"Words never fail you," Morton said, slapping him on the back.
Sitting across from them, Evans thought they really were the odd couple. Morton, big and hearty, dressed casually in jeans and a work shirt, always seeming to burst from his clothes. And Nicholas Drake, tall and painfully thin, wearing a coat and tie, with his scrawny neck rising from the collar of a shirt that never seemed to fit. In their manner, too, they were complete opposites. Morton loved to be around as many people as possible, loved to eat and laugh. He had a penchant for pretty girls, vintage sports cars, Asian art, and practical jokes. His parties drew most of Hollywood to his Holmby Hills mansion. His charity functions were always special, always written up the next day. Of course, Drake attended those functions, but invariably left early, sometimes before dinner. Often he pleaded illness, his own or a friend's. In fact, Drake was a solitary ascetic.